produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth.
Jesus. Welcome to Josie's Inspiration I am Josie, and this is the month of February 2024. Oh, how I love Jesus as I listen to that hymn being sung by Carrie Underwood. I think about unconditional love. I think about singing that hymn as a child in Sunday school. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. We often think about love, especially in the month of February, because of Valentine's Day. We think about showing love, about sending gifts of love, flowers, candy. Even Heart Health Month is in February because it's about the heart. And so today, as I'm thinking about what does love mean and what is unconditional love, I thought about the loves of my life. The first love of my life is my love for God. 1 John 4:19 through 21 says, "We love him because he first loved us. If a man says, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. We know God's love, whether we are thinking about it consciously, but each day that we wake up, each day that we have breath, it for me is a sign of God's unconditional love for us, because he is allowing us moments with him, time with him. And so when I wake up in the morning, generally I wake up early. What's early for me is 6 o'clock, specifically 6:17. And I remember clearly after I left corporate America, after I left having a job, I thought, wow, now I can sleep as late as I want. I don't have to get up. I don't have to go to work. But I started waking up at 6:17, and I did not understand it. I was like, why am I waking up now? I don't have anywhere to go. Why am I awake at 6:17? And over time, lo and behold, it became clear to me, 6:17 is also the date of my birth, June 17th. And I understood immediately that those early morning wake-up calls are my time with God, specific time before the day gets started, before any hustle and bustle, before there are any distractors. I need to have my quiet time to hear him, to sense his presence, to give him thanks for waking me up. Thanks for seeing me through the night. Thanks for my family, for just blessing my life and seeing me through the many ups and downs, trials and tribulations that I have experienced in my health. And so that love of God is waking me up in the morning, his love for me and my love to be available to him. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, how I love Jesus. And then a second unconditional love is self-love. Now, I grew up hearing as a child, don't be selfish, don't be thinking about yourself all the time. And so, particularly as women, we have been givers, we have poured out, we have shown love to others, often sacrificing ourselves. And to sacrifice is okay, but self-love is not selfish. Mark 12, 30 through 31 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." What's significant there is love your neighbor as yourself. You know, if we think about loving our neighbors as ourselves, and we think it's not okay for self-love, then how can we love anyone else? A part of my life has included my business ventures into direct sales, self-care products, taking care to help people understand how important it is to take care of yourself and to pour into yourself so that you have something to pour out. We see so much anger and mistrust and mistreatment of each other in this world. And I believe so much of that comes from lack of self-love. When we don't love others, it's because we find it difficult to love ourselves. And if we don't love ourselves, it is easy to become resentful, envious, and disrespectful to others. So self-love is not being selfish. It is understanding that God first shows us love and He pours love into us. And after our love of Him, it's important that we love ourselves. I imagine myself daily as an empty vessel that each day I must pour in my God love and then my self love, and then I have something to pour out to others. As I'm preparing today for a vendor event with my business partner, we're going to have a Serenity Sanctuary on Saturday. And I'm making oils that people can use on their person to show themselves love, bath salts that they can sprinkle in their shower or in their bath to start their day breathing in love, breathing in relaxation. And a room linen spray that they can mist their homes. And it's called Sacred Place. Because our homes need to be a sacred place that we start our day feeling joy and feeling love. Self-love is not selfish. It is a priority. Love your neighbor as yourself. When you love yourself, you have love to give others. When we pour from an empty vessel is when we find bitterness and disagreement and anger. And then there is family love. You know, February, in addition to being Valentine's month, it's my mother's birthday. February 6th. Just a few days ago, I thought about her, especially at her birthday. I think about her often because there's so many lessons that I learned from her. There's so many things that I can hear myself saying to my children that my mother said to me. And sometimes I remember saying, I'm never going to say that to my children. But her words were sincere. And they came from a place of love. And so she taught me love, starting by her birthing me, caring for me, and then taking me to Sunday school to introduce me to God's love. And so when I think about her, I think about that love that was shown to me unconditionally. Yes, there were periods of discipline and never without an explanation. She always wanted me to understand the consequences of life, the consequences that my behavior could bring in life. And so her love taught me how to love myself, even though she used to say, don't be selfish. And I think what her intent was to honor and respect others and don't just always think about myself. And so it wasn't that she did not want me to love myself. She wanted me to understand that love that is shown to me was meant to be passed through me to others. And so love of my mother, love of my father, he was my guide. He taught me to be a free spirit, to take things lightly, and not to take myself so seriously. You know, he taught me the love of music in his songs. He gave me some wisdom. He taught me to seek beyond myself and to explore life, love, and the world. And then as I grew older and I got married, now for 45 years, I have loved my husband, Michael. Now, I've loved him longer than 45 years, but the commitment, the vows that we made 45 years ago, July 22nd, 1978, stand firm. I know that as I read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. That's what I feel in my love and relationship with my husband. He is patient. He is kind. He always is protective of me. He always trusts me. Even sometimes when I am not trustful, he always hopes for me and perseveres with me. It takes a man of God to be patient and to be loving with a woman of God. As couples and men and women in love, it is not an easy road because often, individually, we're still learning about ourselves. We're still learning who we are and having clarity of whose we are. And so learning to be selfless and learning to trust someone who we're just getting to know in our early relationships can be challenging. We're not perfect people, and so to expect perfection of our mates is unrealistic. God teaches us, however, to be patient and to be kind. He teaches us to be hopeful in our relationships. And so through my four cancer diagnoses, through my brain tumor, through everything, the ups and downs in our relationships, he has always shown me love. Even when there were periods that I didn't feel the love, I knew that his intent was one of love. And then my children, just as my parents showed me love, it has always been my goal to show my children love, to show them how to love themselves, how to be loving parents, how to be loving partners. And so now as I look at my children, I understand that what I prayed and asked God for during my cancer diagnosis was that he would allow me to step back as a hands-on, in-their-face, every day telling them what to do parent, to trust them to go to God to seek direction, to trust them to make their own mistakes and to learn from them. And so I see them now as adults who, not that they don't need me, but they don't rely on me for their every movement, for their every decision. They make decisions, they share them. Sometimes they don't share them. But when the time is right, they always come to me and let me know that through their actions and through the things that they're doing, they show me that my love for them gives them the support that they need to make their own decisions. Now, my grandchildren, oh, that is love, love, love. My three grands. Elijah, the oldest, I'm going to go see him. In fact, Michael and I are going to go to California in a few weeks to see him. As a young man about to turn 20, he stepped out on faith and on his own journey to live and go to school in California and to find his way, not knowing anyone there, but just wanting to explore and to live a new life. I'm so proud of him and I love him and I can't wait to get to California. And then my middle girl, Mariah, I love her. I love her feistiness. I love her independence. I love her just being that individual who's going to strike out and do her own thing in her own way. And then Isaiah, my baby, who I spent the most time with because I was with him as the others were in school and nursery school. I was with him meeting the school bus, going to daycare, you know, just being there and seeing him grow now into a teenager. I love his love for education. The uniqueness of each of my grandchildren makes me so proud. And then community love. When I think about community love, I think about my Josie's Inspiration Radio Network community. This year, this February, is our 5th anniversary as a part of Finding My Way with Kayla Padgett. I am so eternally grateful to Kayla for seeing something in me that was worthy of hosting a radio show first and then being a network with Josie's Inspiration. This past week, I started a new venture of doing a Zoom with the host, and we had a total of 9 participants just sharing, uplifting, and showing love to each other. I knew that there were many things happening in the lives of the host, and while I individually knew, I felt the need to connect our community in a different way, in a more supportive way. And so we did the Zoom. And so I have to go back again to Corinthians 2 and 3. In Corinthians it says, if actually starting at one, but if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. 1 John 4, 19 through 21 again says, we love him because he first loved us. If a man says, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Community love. It's important to surround us with God's people, to surround ourselves in loving environments. I love being by myself. I think COVID and cancer gave me that opportunity to be a little selfish with myself, to reinforce what self-love is all about. But there's something about coming together in community. Being in community this coming Saturday with my business partner, Natalie, at their community event, doing a Serenity Sanctuary, teaching others to make self-love a priority, having the Zoom with my Josie's Inspiration Radio Network family, community love, that is a sustaining factor. Because we know God loved us first, and we must show that love to our brother and to our fellow man. And so this month of February, the month of love, the month that people make love more about display, showing to the world, I pray that we would show love in simple ways that people will understand, not just for the world to see, not only as an outward display, but as a personal responsibility to show the love of God that is poured on us daily, unconditional love, and to be forgiving to those who may not yet have understood that our love is sincere, and that often it may not come across the way they want to receive it or the way it is perceived, but love is real. Thank you so much for this opportunity to just talk about unconditional love. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Amen.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Afternoon, whatever day it is, whatever time it is, thank you for joining me once again on Rev. Lydia Speaks. I have had, for this just this past week, conversations with people about the Bible not being relevant, things that are happening today, and nothing is being done about it. I think people are losing their faith. And I can understand it because sometimes you're looking into the Bible as being 2,000 years ago or more, and nothing that it says, if you're not reading between the lines, has anything to do with you today. But it does. There is nothing new under the sun. Now, I'm going to bring it home for just a moment, just as base as I can possibly bring it. Have you noticed all the commercials nowadays that promise that their products are so much better than everyone else's? I mean, the detergents that promise to get your dishes cleaner than clean or your clothes spotless and whiter than white. They all promise to do the job without leaving any residue. But can they really? What about the times when someone says, they forgive you, but the actions or attitude tell you a different thing? Yeah, I'm talking about today. I'm talking about things that we all know about. How about you? When you say you forgive, do you really? And do you also forget? That's almost impossible, isn't it? Because the human brain is set to retain some things that are a defense mechanism against making the same stupid mistakes over and over again. The residue that is left behind in these cases is because of an unfinished or a half-done job, a cover-up, to make the slate look clean. But it actually leaves behind a new type of residue. And that's leading me into what I know about God and His Word. I'm so glad that when God wipes the slate clean, it is clean indeed. When Jesus went to the cross and He shed His blood, that blood covered our sins and discrepancies so completely that when God looks at us, That's all he sees, his son's overpowering blood. We're forgiven to such an extent that the old part of us, the old man, is wiped completely away. And what is left is a new creature, an empty vessel waiting to be filled, no residue. All iniquities are gone, and we stand at the precipice of being free and walking into a whole new life. One where we have the choice just of using this new start to bring glory to the kingdom or going back to your default setting or your comfort zone of sin. And you may ask, okay, well, if that's true, why would God do all of that? Like giving his only son for a sacrifice for us, only to still give us choice and we may make the choice of backsliding. Because he knows who is really sick and tired of being sick and tired. And those are the people who will take his grace and run with it and spread it to everybody else. Yes, his grace and mercy are free for everyone, but only those who see the truth of what the kingdom of God really is will be willing to share it, come what may. We were bought with a price, and it was a high price. Literally one life for many. And I promise with all that I am to be one of the someones who runs and not gets weary and walks and doesn't faint, because I know the price if I don't. And the stakes are just too high. It said that the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. Then that means those of us who consider ourselves bringers of light need to step up our game. And now is the time not to shrink back to default, because we are afraid to stand out. That's when people don't get taught. You're afraid to stand out because of what someone thinks about your change or may say about your change. But we must walk with pride in the knowledge of what Christ did for us. We must walk in the knowledge of how much God cares about us, in the fact that the creator of the world, who knows the very numbers of hairs on your head, cared enough, saw enough in you to give you another chance to live out your purpose. Yes, you have a purpose, even if you haven't found it yet. But you say, okay, Rev, you got no idea the kind of storms that I face, the problems that I have. There is no way that God is using me for anything good. Heard that before. I've even had someone say to me that maybe they did something so wrong in a past life that God is making them pay for it now. Okay. Here's my answer. The problems you go through, whether they were of your own doing or not, are there to strengthen your faith and for you to learn from. And as far as the storms of life, let's talk about storms for a little while. If you have faith, you can tell those storms to be still. So we're going to discuss storms, and we're going to discuss how it, from the Bible to right now in 2024. In Matthew 14:22-33, the disciples were in a boat, and this storm hits, and it hits with a vengeance. We're talking thunder, lightning, waves overtaking them, and they're taking on water and about to sink. Everybody is scared to death. They're rowing and they're not getting anywhere. They're trying and they can't succeed. Okay, doesn't that sound like some things we might be going through? And then they spot a figure. And they're so scared out there, they think it's a ghost walking toward them, because no man can walk on water, right? They finally recognize that it's Jesus. But just to be sure, Peter asked to be able to come down out of the boat and to walk to meet him. Now, he succeeds. As long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was fine. But as he saw the fierceness of the storm and the thunder and the lightning, he began to sink because of his fears coming back. And he screamed for Jesus to save him. And when the Lord picked him up, he asked him, why did you not think I was going to save you? Ye of little faith. Peter, as did the others, had a life before meeting Jesus. Now, these men were fishermen and every other walk of life, and they left everything to follow him. Now, don't you think that that in and of itself would create somewhat of a storm within them? They felt his power, and it excited them to think of being a part of it. But what happens to those loved ones that were left behind? How are they being treated? How are they living? How are they making ends meet? That type of storm is as threatening as were the actual waves the disciples faced. When you worry about your family, that makes you sink into despair of thinking just of them being sick or not being treated well or being hungry or being discarded. That was the residue of guilt for leaving them. And just as Peter didn't sink until he moved his line of sight from Jesus, when we choose to sink into the storms of lack and sickness, when we look at our jobs and bank accounts as our source and they don't look like anything we want them to look like, when we let our ego tell us that we don't have anything, not enough education, and we need to have the most expensive car, house, clothes, etc., before we can do anything of value, we've taken our eyes off of the prize, and the prize is the Christ nature within. Now, I'm speaking from experience when I say when we surrender to God and align our hearts and minds to the minds of the divine and realize that our source is not what the world gives, but what the God that created the world itself gives, you lack nothing. Those three words are very, very important. You lack nothing. God knows what you need better than you do. It's only when we look around at others and compare ourselves to them and their situations, and believe me, you don't really know what goes on behind closed doors. They might be faking the funk and showing you just what they want you to see, like our common day Facebook. That's when we start to sink. We sink into despair. We start to feel sorry for ourselves. And sometimes, oftentimes, we make choices that otherwise would never have crossed our minds. The quick fixes, the choices that leave the residue that I spoke of, instead of doing that, allow what you know about the character of God and his promises to be the rock on which you make your stand. Now, I know that sounds hard, but know that whatever the need, God has the solution. It may not look like a solution to you at the moment, and it may seem like it is taking way too long, but keep praying. Keep coming to God in worship and thanksgiving for what he has done, what he is doing, even if you don't know what that is. Even if it looks like there is no movement at all in your current situation. And what he is about to do, give thanks for that. And then when your change does come, and it will come, don't forget to give thanks. God will bring about a change in your life, and you will owe no one but him for it. And that's a great thing, because no residue from those who feel as if they were your savior. You know how people can be. Even if they help you from what they say is the goodness of their hearts, they sometimes still are looking for some kind of extra acknowledgement, and they can become resentful when they don't get it. This year, just this year, I decided that I intend to restore my soul by releasing any existing residue of my past. I mean, the stuff you think you've forgotten and gotten over with. That is, until there's a button pushed that brings up some kind of a memory. Now, the challenge is at this point to let that video of that memory play. But all the while, be cognizant and realize that the feeling you used to have about this, it's not as intense. In short, these feelings do not leave the pain they used to, and they do not serve you in any way. You have rewritten at this point your part in this play called life. No guilt, no pain over the situation, no victimized drama, no residue. And how does that come about? Well, it changed because you have decided to replace all of that stuff with real God stuff. And that's the stuff that counts. You've grown in the knowledge of who you truly are and what you mean to God. And you have forgiven yourself, first of all, for thinking less of yourself, for letting the residue cloud your vision of the person you were created to be. Remember, all of that thinking and all of that victimization may not be your fault. It was placed there by well-meaning parents, teachers, and others who were doing the best they could with the understanding they had to lead you in what they perceived as being the right direction. I can remember being taught when I was a kid not to think too highly of myself. So that translated to me when I knew the answer or knew I could do something or thought I had something to offer, for a very long time, I just wouldn't respond at all. It got me in trouble in school because some of my teachers knew I knew the answer and they kept saying, "Why aren't you answering?" And, you know, that kind of thing. And they would talk to my parents. But see, I already knew the eye rolls and the snide looks I would get from others. In short, I allowed other people to stagnate my growth and development. Now, trust me, I have no doubt at all that I've been blessed in so many areas of my life. But how many blessings did I leave on the floor, so to speak, by allowing others to project onto me their fear or their feelings of not enoughness? Residue can be deadly in many ways, but all of the leftover shame, pain, guilt, or whatever it is that stops you is released when you come to the knowledge of God, when you come to the knowledge of His character, when you come to the knowledge of His promises and the acceptance of His love and the surrender to the fact that you are important. God did not make mistakes. God did not cut corners. And God did not tell you to put your light under a bushel basket. It doesn't serve anyone at any place, any time, for you to know something, to know how to help someone, or possibly even have a new direction that you can explain and maybe stop something that would have happened. It doesn't serve anyone if you keep that to yourself. What good would it do this earth if the clouds were full with rain and just let it evaporate and go back into the sky? What was the purpose of Christ letting himself be killed if he didn't rise up again? If he didn't come through with the hope? If he didn't let the residue of the hatred of the people who thought they destroyed him just roll off his back? In short, if he didn't show himself to be the God he was and is. You see, people have their own ideas about you, whether or not they know anything about you. And it has nothing to do with you. A lot of times it has to do with what they think about themselves or how little they think about themselves. I've seen people I've never seen smile. And they're looking one way and they're walking. It's like they're zombies. Those are the true zombies. I don't know about these movies today. But those are the people who are just living. They're existing. They have so much put upon them that might not even be theirs till they don't even know how to sit and think and try to raise their vibration. Your vibration, when you raise it, through thoughts of good and through thoughts of love and then through thoughts of just thinking about what Jesus did for us and why he did it for us. That's so important because you may be the only way that some people experience that feeling of God. They don't know why, but when they walk into your home, they feel so at peace, they forget how long they're there. When they walk into your very energy, your very presence, it picks them up for the rest of the day. I've seen those people who look so down. By the time we finish having just a short conversation, they have a different look. Some of them even crack a smile. You have no idea what you mean to others. You have no idea of your importance. But just think of yourself as this. Yes, God is God all by himself. But God needs us to shine its light. And he needs us to do his work here on earth. He put us here for that purpose. And none of us have all of the same energy. None of us have all of the same gifts. So when we put our gifts together, when we put our energy together, when we drive out the residue of hatred and bigotry and all kinds of evil, you're just spreading more light across a dark planet. Darkness has to run from light. It has no choice. Your light is very important. Forget all that leftover pain and shame. Release that residue and shine your crystal clear light for all to see. And you just may wind up leading some other soul into their own freedom journey. And don't forget to say to those inward storms, peace, be still. This is Reverend Lydia, reminding you to remove all the residue from your life, be it people, places, thoughts, or things. See you next time.
Not scared to say, I used to be the one preaching it to you, that you could overcome. To believe it, but it ain't easy. Cause that world I painted, where things just don't work out, it started changing, and I started having doubts, and it got me so something good.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.